Right. All right. So not many mitzvos in this week's parsha, but the mitzvos that we have are full of ideas and fantastic. I decided we should talk about challah this week. Now, by way of introduction, I've lost track of what life is like in America to some extent. In Israel, in a certain segment of the community, challah, of the female community, challah has become like its own religion, right? Like, there's no problem that can't be solved by 40 women getting together and being mafrish challah. It's become like an event. Like, I've got, you know, there, we went to like a to a wedding where they were mafrish challah. Okay, it's a thing. And okay, I want to take time today while analyzing the mitzvah halachically, because there's great lumdus on the mitzvah, also to talk about how it is that it became like a skula, and how it is that challah, again, at least in Israel, but I think probably all over, it's obvious that it's a women's mitzvah, right? There are three mitzvahs that are associated with women, right? Nida, obviously, Hadlakas Neros Shabbos, and challah, but there's much more going on behind that. You know, there are two ways to start looking at challah, and then we'll look at the sheet together. You know, the way the parsha breaks down, there's obviously the story of the Meraglim, and then in the back there's the Mekoshesh Eitzim and Tzitzis, and then the middle is the stuff that we don't really talk about, right? And these are like these random mitzvos that seem to have been put there for no good reason. And the first one is Nesachim. Yeah, and Rashi says right there, and it's obviously the way we view it. No, God immediately having told the generation of Yotzei Mitzrayim, you're not going in, then gave them mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz as a form of nechama to prove that eventually they will go in. So the first one is Nesachim, and then comes the mitzvah of challah. So it's clearly part of the transition from Chayit HaMeraglim, and let's start with the Psukim, as we normally do, and let's see what's there. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor. Daber al b'nei Yisrael va'amarto alehem, bivoachem el ha'aretz asher ani mevi etchem shama. Right? When you come to the land that I'm going to bring you to. So, you know, the simple meaning of the pasuk explains the transition, right? Why is this mitzvah here after Chayit HaMeraglim? Because this is a mitzvah that's going to apply bivoachem el ha'aretz. That's simple pshat. But there's something else going on here, and that is the language, right? I've cleverly bolded the words bivoachem el ha'aretz. Why? Because it's the only time those words appear in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Normally, what does the Torah say? The Torah uses a form of ki tavo'u el ha'aretz, ki tavo'u el eretz achuzatchem. Those are the forms that the Torah usually uses. This is a standout. And the Sifrei, which I probably should have put on the sheet, says the following. Every time the Torah says ki tavo'u el ha'aretz, the limud in the Gemara is, what does it mean, ki tavo'u el ha'aretz? The limud is, when you really come to the land, after the 7 years that it took to conquer the land, and after the 7 years that it took to divide the land amongst the Shvatim, that's called colloquially Sheva Shekavshu and Sheva Shechelku. So every mitzvah, Hatluya Ba'aretz, only kicked in 14 years after we entered. The exception is Challah. Because it doesn't say ki tavo el ha'aretz, it says bivoachem el ha'aretz, and we understand that to mean immediately. Okay, that's obviously the first thing that's unique about challah. What is the mitzvah? Pasuk Yutes, v'hayaba achol chem milechem ha'aretz. When it happens that you eat milechem ha'aretz, tarimu truma l'Hashem. You have to give truma. Again, truma in this context doesn't mean the mitzvah of truma. It means the mitzvah of lifting something up and separating it. Okay, what is it? So we say, the pasuk says, Reishit arisotechem chala tarimu truma. From the first of your kneading of chala, Challah here meaning dough. You should lift up a gift. Ki trumat goren kein tarimu ota. Just like you have to give a gift from the goren, from the threshing floor, just like you have to give what we normally think of as trumas u'maisros and maiser sheni and bikurim and all these things, so too you have to do from your kneading. Now, why do we have to do that? What's sort of the chiddush? One more pasuk. May reshit arisotechem titnu l'Hashem truma l'darotechem. From the first, you know, from the first kneadings of your bowl, you should give a gift to God. Interesting, it doesn't say anything about a kohen. Later on, the Torah explains that you can't give, you don't give challah to God, you give challah to the person God wants you to give it to, and that's the kohen. But what's unique here is, I believe, challah is the only second generation gift that we give. By which I mean, whatever you use to make the challah, whether the five grains that you use to make the challah, you already gave trumos u'maisros from those things when they were harvested. So what makes challah exceptionally unique is that it's the only time you give another gift after you've already given the whole series of gifts that the Torah required, right? The chameshes mine dagon that you use to make the dough that's going to turn into challah, all that could have already been eaten because you've already been mafrish everything you needed to be mafrish from for those things. And yet the Torah requires an additional gift. Okay, that's one of the really unique things about challah. All that, an introduction to the halachos. Okay, first the Rambam says...
Ellie, in that sense, it's akin to Trumas Maaser.
Yeah, but Trumas Maaser is part of the original... I mean, you're right, but you're wrong. You know, it's part of the original set of gifts you have to give. It's true.
Correct. I said it's akin to. I didn't say it correct.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent use of the word akin.
Okay. Is there also something else that we give that's already a finished product?
I couldn't think of one. That's the point I'm trying to make.
In other words, it's already processed.
Correct. That's the point I made. It's challah is unique in that you could have eaten the grain. You already gave all the gifts you had to give from the grain. It's something about turning it into bread that creates a new chiyuv. All of the raw ingredients could have been eaten raw. Or I guess you could have made a cake out of them or cookies or whatever, and it would have been fine. It was the choice of challah that generated this mitzvah. And, you know, one last thing, which is obvious, if you word search challah, which I did, you know, it comes up so many times, mostly not in the context of challah narrowly defined as bread, but, well, no, I'm sorry, start again. If you word search lechem, right, which is what our pasuk is, v'yaba achalchem lechem ha'aretz, you know, it comes up many, many times, not in the context of bread, but in the context of, you know, that which allows you to live, that which fulfills you, that which supports you. You know, it's we live in a world of abundance, and so we don't think of bread the way, you know, not just the way the Torah thought of bread, but I my father, Zichron Lebracha, washed every night for dinner. I don't think, and he was very frum, but I don't think it was like a frum thing. I think he grew up in a world in which, you know, bread was the meal. And so if you didn't eat bread, you didn't have a meal, right? A lot of people, a lot of Holocaust survivors I know, you know, sort of did that because all, you know, you were hungry. Even Lahavdil, you know, when I first went to Israel and food wasn't so plentiful, breakfast was bread with some stuff that went with the bread. You know, dinner was bread with some stuff that went on the bread. You know, bread used to be a meal, right? Tied to all these benching ideas, which we won't talk about. Okay. All that by way of introduction, says the Rambam in source number 2, mitzvah sase kuf lamed gimel, vaha mitzvah kuf lamed gimel, 133, he shet zivonu lahafrish chala me'arisotenu, velitna lakohen. The Rambam says the mitzvah is to separate chala from our dough and to give it to the kohen. This is therefore a mitzvah that has two parts. in the Rambam, right? First, separate the dough. Second, give that dough to the Kohen. And he says, the pasuk is this week's parsha, Reshit arisotechem, arisotechem chala terim utra, the pasuk we read already. And the very end, he says, what's obvious, but not exactly so. He says, Ve'eina chova min ha-Torah ela be'eretz Yisrael levad. Right? The mitzvah of chala is only a chova in Eretz Yisrael. Now, on the one hand, you go, well, that's obvious. Isn't it a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz? As we'll see in a second, the answer is not exactly. Right? If you took a Jaffa orange from Israel and you sent it to Tinek, so at least midrabanan, it would be chayv and true Muslim, you know, you couldn't eat it if you weren't mafresh true Muslim Israels, because it's a fruit of the land of Israel. Similarly, if you grew an orange in Tinek and you took it to Israel, you wouldn't have to be mafresh true Muslim Israels, because it's an orange of chutz la'aretz. But that's not the rule for challah. If you took grain from Tinek and you brought it to Israel and you kneaded it and made dough in Israel, it'd be chayav in challah. And the reverse is also the case. If you took wheat from Israel and you brought it home to Tinek, if you mafresh it, it's not real challah. It's only the mitzvah drabanan in chutz la'aretz. Okay, but the main point in the Rambam is there's two parts to the mitzvah. Okay, separating and then giving it to the Kohen. And this is consistent with the Rambam Shita, which is expressed in Shoresh Yud Bet in the Sefer HaMitzvah, source number 3, as follows. HaShoresh HaShnei Masar She'ein ra'uy limnot chelkei melacha min ha-melachot sheba ha-tzivuy ba'asiyata kol chelek v'chelek b'fnei atzmo. Says the Rambam, when I decide what constitutes a mitzvah in the Tariag Mitzvos, you should know the following. I don't count parts of a mitzvah. I don't count component parts. I count the mitzvah as a whole. And sometimes mitzvahs have different parts. For example, v'hamashal bazeh ha'ola. A good example is the mitzvah of a carbon ola. Why? Hine anachnu nitztavinu shetihye melechet ha'ola kach. We are commanded to bring a carbon ola, which includes v'hu sheyishchata, slaughtering, v'yafshita, and taking off its skin, v'yinatcha, and chopping it up, v'yizrok dama al tor kach v'kach, and spilling the blood on the mizbech in that way. And you have to do this thing, and you have to do that thing, all these things. You have to bring nesachim, etc., etc. All these things, says the Rambam in the last line, v'amalacha zot bichlala, hi mitzvat asei achat, v'hi torat ha'ola. Right? A better example for us. We are commanded to take a lulav and an esrog and hadasim and aravos on sukkos. Nobody thinks that's four mitzvos. That's one mitzvah that has four component parts. And the Rambam therefore says challah, the same thing. It's true. There are two parts to it, separating out the challah and then giving it to the Kohen. But the Rambam says both of those parts together constitute one mitzvah aseh min ha-Torah of the mitzvah of challah. The Ramban broadly agrees with the Rambam, of course, that you don't always count, you know, component parts of a mitzvah, otherwise there'd be thousands of mitzvahs. That said, the Ramban strongly disagrees with the Rambam with respect to the mitzvah of challah. Source number 4, says the Ramban, V'chein adin ha-sheni she'igzo harav limnot ma she'lukach ha-kohen chelek min ha-mitzvah. He says, that which the Rambam includes giving to the Kohen, einenu din shaveh etzli b'chulan, aval yesh b'em chiluk. The Ramban says, I think the Rambam exaggerated his idea of not counting component parts. Ki ha-dvarim ha-tovlim heim shtei mitzvot b'vadai. Says the Ramban, if something is tevel. Tevel is basically, you know, it's usher to eat tevel. Those are fruits for which you're chayef to take trumas umaisros. It's like those fruits are treif until you're mafrish trumas umaisros. So says the Ramban, the rule is different with respect to things that might otherwise be tevel. V'hamashal bazeh ha-chala. By the way, I can't help notice, I think the Ramban is like sticking it to the Rambam. The Rambam says, v'hamashal bazeh ha'olah, the Ramban like copied his language exactly, but said he brings an example for what he thinks. I'll bring an example opposite it. For example, challah, why? Shekein, Kal ha'isa asura lanu ad shenafrish ota. Right? The dough is prohibited for us to eat until we're mafrish. V'nitz tavinu ba mitzvah nifredet. Shenemar chala tarimu truma. V'shelo ya'ale bilibenu shenarim ota lahotzi ha'isa mi'isur v'na'azvena. O nashlich ota be'esh. Says the Ramban, there are two separate things going on. When you're mafrish chala from Isa, you did a mitzvah. How do I know that you did a mitzvah? Because it used to be usur to eat this dough. The second you separated out chala, which, not to brag, but last night my wife was mezakeh me in the mitzvah of chala, and she allowed me to do the taking out and the making the bracha, and it was pretty cool. I don't think I solved all the problems in the world through the mitzvah of challah, but it was still enjoyable, and you make the bracha. So he says, the second you take out the dough and you make the bracha, lahafrish challah min ha'isa, the dough becomes mutter to eat. It's like it just became kosher. Says the Ramban, that's its own mitzvah. Now it happens to be, you're now holding on to this dough. You don't want to just throw it in the garbage. So the Ramban says, okay, so now there's another mitzvah to give it to the Kohen. But the Ramban thinks any time, any action that changes something from usur to mutter, from treif to kosher, that has to be counted as a separate mitzvah. As a result, the Ramban says, challah is two separate mitzvahs. One, separating out the dough. Two, giving that dough to a Kohen. The Rambam thinks, no, challah is one mitzvah with two component parts, separating out the dough and giving the challah to the Kohen. There is, of course, you know, perhaps a machlokas in the understanding of the mitzvah between the Rambam and the Ramban, right? For the Ramban, the focus of the mitzvah is making the stuff kosher. And then it happens to be to some other mitzvah of giving it to the Kohen. I think the Rambam would say, no, the whole point is making it kosher by giving the matana to the Kohen, by supporting Kohanim. Okay, but that's philosophy, which we can leave for another few minutes. That's one major machlokas. Okay, one major machlokas is how many mitzvahs is challah. The Rambam says one. The Ramban says two. The reasons are given in Shorash Yud Bet in the Sefer HaMitzvos. The second really interesting question is, what
Ellie, the nafka mina would be between the Rambam and the Ramban is that in Eretz Yisrael, actually, any place, you never, according to the Rambam, you never will be Mekayim Mitzvah Challah, whereas according to the Ramban, you can be.
Well, you're right, but it's true for other reasons also. As we'll see later, you know, it needs Bias Kolchem or Bias Rubchem, right? There are other technical reasons why you won't be Yotze, but you're exactly right. If part of the mitzvah for the Rambam is giving it to a Kohen, so what we do nowadays of burning it might undermine the potential of the mitzvah d'oraisa. We'll come back to that point in a second because it ties into something else interesting. But let's move on to the second point, which is, what type of mitzvah is this? Now, what does that question mean? Well, we've been doing this long enough and bumping into enough examples that we understand there are things that are called mitzvahs in the Torah, but there are different types of mitzvahs. So for example, you know, there are unconditional mitzvahs where the Torah says, you know, you have to eat matzah, you have to blow shofar, you have to sit in a lulav, etc. I'm sorry, you have to sit in a sukkah, etc., etc. Then there are conditional mitzvahs. What's a conditional mitzvah? You know, we talk about it as mezuzah. If you don't have a house, you don't have to put up a mezuzah, right? If you don't have a porch, you don't have to put up a makkah. That's another group of mitzvahs. The question is, what type of mitzvah is challah? Meaning, should we be pursuing this mitzvah? Should we be putting bakeries out of business? Which is, by the way, a very interesting discussion in Achronim. Because when you buy challah from a bakery, you know, you lost out on the mitzvah of afrashas challah, right? Or is this, no, this is a circumstantial one. If I have a bowl of batter, of dough, then there's a mitzvah to separate, but nobody thinks it's something you should be pursuing. So this is a machlokas, so it's called a machlokas between the Taz and the Magen Avram. You know, it was a machlokas before them. Sometimes just Achronim get their names on a machlokas, much like sometimes, you know, some guy gets his name on like legislation. You know, it's called like the Goldberg Bill for reasons that aren't exactly clear. So that's what we have here. Here's the Taz. The Taz, interestingly, it's in Hilchos Shechita. The Taz is having a discussion about who makes the bracha on Shechita. So he says as follows, Nira ta'amo, da'acher mevarech shapir. A person who's not the shechter, the slaughterer, can make the bracha of Shechita. Why? De birchas ha-shechita eina ba'a ala shechita atzma. He says the bracha of Shechita doesn't really go on Shechita. Da'ein chiyuv l'shechita. Imeina rotze lechol. He says, nobody thinks there's a mitzvah of Shechita in the sense that, you know, if a cow walks past you, you have to slaughter it. Right? And if you don't slaughter it, you're mevatel mitzvah saseh min haTorah. Of course not. Says the Taz, if you want to eat meat, and it's usur to eat an avela, so then you have to shecht it. Ela ikar kavana la take shevach lamakom baruch hu al she'asar lanu achilat basar b'lo shechita. Really, the bracha on shechita is to just praise God to say, you know, you prohibited us from eating avela. U'bezev vaday kol Yisrael shayach bo ta bracha. Sherei al kulam yesh isur. Right? Anybody could make the bracha on Shechita because everybody has a prohibition to eat a nevela. Ela she'ein, so why don't you just make a bracha every day? It says, Ela she'ein makom levarech shevach zeh, ela b'sha'at Shechita shum behema. He says, it's true. The bracha is not really on slaughtering an animal. The bracha is on the fact that God allowed us to eat meat that was slaughtered. He prohibited nevela and he permitted slaughtered animals. Dugmale davar, says the Taz. What's another similar bracha? Birchas erusin, the bracha that you make under the chuppah. She'achatan me'areis v'harav mevarech. Right? It's strange. How come the chasan doesn't make the bracha? She'as alon asa'arayos v'hiti alon asa. Why does the mesader kedushin make that bracha? So says the Taz, the gam sham. Mivarech al isur arayot she'asar l'chol Yisrael. Because there too, it's not really a bracha on the mitzvah of getting married. It's a praise to God that he created a world and he prohibited us to have relations outside of marriage and he permitted it during marriage. That's the bracha, so somebody else can make it. Aval, here he comes, b'hafrashat truma, with respect to truma, meaning challah, have the ikar habracha al mitzvah hafrasha. Lo al isur achilat tevel. No, he says it's a real bracha. Sheharei mitzvat ha hafrasha chiyuv alav afilu im eino rotzel le'echol min hatzvua adayin. That's the key line. It says the Taz, you're not being mafrish challah because you want to eat, because you want to bake bread. You're being mafrish challah because it's a mitzvah. And the second you have a bowl of dough in front of you, a real obligation to separate challah and to make the bracha. Meaning you might say to yourself, okay, I made a bowl of dough, but you know what? I just realized that, you know, my husband just brought me back challahs from the bakery. So I don't really need to make challah right now. I don't need it. Says the Taz, you have to be mafresh because there's a mitzvah sitting in front of you. There's an obligation right there to do the mitzvah of challah. It's not like shechita, where if you decide that you don't want to eat meat, so you don't shech the animal, nothing wrong with that. Says the Taz, this is a mitzvah. To give an example from the parsha. This is a mitzvah like tzitzis. If you have a four-cornered garment, there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to put tzitzis on it. Says the Taz, if you have a bowl of dough, there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to be mafrish challah. The Magen Avram rejects this completely. Source number 6 says the Magen Avram, V'yesh lomar, da'afrashat challah eino mitzvah kol kach. It's not a real mitzvah. De'eino oseh elo l'takein ma'achalo dumya d'shchita. Says the Magen Avram, you know, the Taz says it's not like shchita. Says the Magen Avraham, it's exactly like Shechita. And so if you had a bowl of dough in your house and you didn't want it, you didn't need it for bread, says the Magen Avraham, okay, so don't be mafrish challah. There's no big deal. There's no need to. Okay, this machlokes, which isn't so halacha l'maisa, because it's rare that you make a bowl of dough and then you don't do something with it, but it does generate this really fascinating discussion in Achronim. You know, Achronim takes seriously, I think there's a Mishnah Brura, I should have looked it up, that takes it seriously, that you're better off baking, like it's better to bake challah for Shabbos, because then you could do the mitzvah of challah. Whereas if you just buy it, you know, maybe not. A lot of other Achronim came along and said, nah, that was in the old days. In the old days where you wanted to have special bread for Shabbos, so you baked special bread. But if you go to a bakery, you know, and you buy challah, not a roll of bread that looks like something you would have eaten during the week, but a challah, so somehow you're not losing out on the mitzvah. Okay, nobody thinks that Rav Asher has a piece where he says he doesn't think it's a chiyuv, but apparently it's a nice thing to be mafrish challah, and there are all these old ideas or traditions, you know, for women to do it dafka on Erev Shabbos. It's part of Kavod Shabbos. It has, I don't say Kabbalistic, but it has like sort of deeper expressions in halacha. Okay, so that's point number two. What kind of mitzvah is it? The Taz says it's a mitzvah like tzitzis and lulav and shofar and all these other things. And the Magen Avraham says, no, it's not. It's like shchita. It's a conditional thing. If you want to make bread, so you have to be mafresh. But if you're not going to eat the bread, there's no need to be mafresh. Okay, that also obviously has philosophic underpinnings, but we'll leave it for now. The Rambam, you know, doesn't address this directly, but there are two Rambams where I think you can see what a shita is. Source number 7. Here's how the Rambam discusses or describes the mitzvah of shchita. He says in Perak Aleph Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Shchita, mitzvat asei sheyishchot mi sheyirtze le'echol basar behema chayav of. Who has the mitzvah of shchita? The person who's hungry, who wants to eat meat. Va'achar kach yochal. Right? Those words, Rav Asher pointed this out. It's the diuk. Va'achar kach yochal. The Rambam seems to be saying that the mitzvah of shchita is dependent on your desire to eat meat. Shenemar v'zavachta mi b'karcha v'tzoncha. Okay? So that's what the Rambam says with respect to hilchos shchita. But with respect to challah, source number 8, which is found in the 5th parak of Hilchos Bikurim, he says, mitzvat asei lafrish truma min ha'isa lekohen. Right, here's the Rambam subtly putting them together. Lahafrish truma min ha'isa lekohen. Right, going back to the first point we discussed, the Rambam sees it as two parts of the same mitzvah, shenemar. But he doesn't say, mitzvat asei lafrish truma min ha'isa lekohen, va'achar kach yochal. So you could be medayik in the Rambam that shchita is conditional. If you want to have bread, I'm sorry, if you want to have meat, you have to shecht. But challah sort of stands on its own. It's not just a matir, it's a mitzvah, like the Taz says, it's a real mitzvah, and not like the Magen Avraham says, which is no, it's just the way that allows you to eat challah. Okay, those are the two lumdus points. Now let's do a little machshava. Okay, the two lumdus points again. How many mitzvos? Rambam 1, Ramban 2, with thoughts behind that. Second, what type of mitzvah is it? Taz, a real mitzvah. Magen Avram, a fake mitzvah that just allows you to eat the bread. Again, with the thoughts behind it. Now, let's look at the Sefer Achinuch, who, while giving the rationale for the mitzvah, helps us understand better the two parts. Source number 9. This week's parasha mitzvah Shin Pei Hey says the Chinuch Mishar Sheh Mitzvah, amongst the rationales for the mitzvah. By the way, just as a side point, I think somebody's ringing the door. Just as a side point, the Chinuch sometimes says Shoresh HaMitzvah. He has different ways of saying this, and sometimes he says Mishar Sheh HaMitzvah. And I think there really is a difference. I think when he says Shoresh HaMitzvah, he really thinks that is the answer, that is the explanation for the mitzvah. I think Mishar Sheh HaMitzvah, he says, amongst the reasons where perhaps you could say he's less convinced, he's giving you a range of ideas. Or simply here, he gives you two reasons, so maybe that's the plural of Shar Sheh HaMitzvah. Anyway, here it goes. First, he says, lefi shechiyuto shel adam bimzonot. He says that which fills us up, you know, is mizonos. V'rov ha'olam yichyu balechem. He says, you know, the overwhelming majority of the world, you know, lives on bread, right? I don't know. Maybe they didn't know about celiacs back then or whatever. But let's face it, you know, you fill up on bread. So since that's the case, again, he's answering a question, which is, what makes bread so unique? And his answer is, bread is so unique because it's the staple of our diets. So as a result, ratzah ha'makom lezakotenu b'mitzvah t'midit b'lachmenu. Classic chinuch. He says, since bread is so important to us, God wanted it to be the object of a mitzvah so that we can be blessed through our bread. Kidei shetanuach bracha bo al yidei ha'mitzvah unikabel bazchut b'nafshenu. Right? He says as follows. Bread is a staple of our diets. It therefore is the case that God chose it to make it an object of a mitzvah. Why? Because for the chinuch, the object of a mitzvah is also the source of a bracha. V'nimtzeita isa mazon laguf u'mazon lanefesh. So instead of bread just being a thing that fills us up, something we desperately need physically, says the chinuch, through the mitzvah of challah, God has made part of what we eat to also be spiritual sustenance. Not because the bread is holy, halachically it's not, but because on some level, when you're mafrish challah min ha'isa, you're saying, you know, you're giving God a part of, or the kohen a part of, the staple of your diet, and you're connecting the most physical thing that we do, which is eating, with something spiritual. Okay, that's the first part. That's why you're mafrish. The second part is why you give. Says the chinuch, gam leman yichyu bo mishartei Hashem ha'oskim tamid b'avodato. Vehem ha'kohanim. Also, says the chinuch, we want to support the kohanim. Okay, now you say to yourself, well, great, we support the kohanim. We give trumas and maizvahs and all these other things. Why something else? So here the chinuch has a really nice idea. He says, mibli yigia klal. No, we want to give something to kohanim that they don't have to do any work. She'ilu bitrumat hagoren, yesh lahem amal la'avir hatzvah bikvara v'litchonota. Because when you give them, you know, wheat and grain and barley, whatever, okay, well, you can't just serve it for dinner. The kohanim have to go home and create something with it. Aval kan, yavochu kam lahem mibli tzar shel klum. But when you already made the dough, and you give the dough to the kohen, all he has to do is throw it in the oven, right? It's like giving him, you know, I don't know, a TV dinner or whatever. You just throw it in the microwave and it's done. So the chinuch thinks that the mitzvah of challah is slightly different than other gifts that we give to the kohanim, because the mitzvah of challah requires us to give just about a finished product, something that can just be thrown into the oven, and to give that to the kohen. Okay, but the chinuch obviously focuses on both sides of the mitzvah, right? You're mafrish so that God can bless the staple of your diet. You then give it to the Kohen so that we can support God's chosen with a finished product. Okay.
So this would be daily?
Whenever you make dough. You have to make a lot of dough, midoraisa. Like, nobody probably makes that much dough every day. The assumption, without getting into the details of how much dough you need to be mafrish, because I don't really know them, it's a large quantity. The assumption is, if you baked every day, you would never be baking the amount that would be mechay of you in challah. But if you bake, you know, a bunch of challahs for Shabbos, then you would be chayav. Okay? Let's go on. Let's look at the Rambam and touch on a new issue. What's the relationship between the mitzvah of challah and Eretz Yisrael? So I already pointed out that just the transition in the Parsha from Cheda Meraglim to Challah and the language of Bevoachem El Haaretz makes us aware that something special is going on here. Here's the Rambam, source 10. Ein chayavim b'challah min ha-Torah ela be'eretz Yisrael bilvad. Shenema v'ayoba achalchem milechem ha-Aretz. Says the Rambam, it's just in Eretz Yisrael. on top of that, ubizman shekol Yisrael sham, and all Jews have to live there. Shenema bevoachem biyat kulchem v'lo biyat mitzatchem. That's a big machlokis. Is it really biyat kulchem, everybody, or is it just rov yoshveha aleha? Okay, is it just when the majority of Jews live in the land of Israel? That, a 30-second digression, but it's one that fascinates me. Almost all the kulos that we have in mitzvos atluyos ba'aretz nowadays are based on the fact that we don't have rov yoshveha aleha, that we don't have the majority of Jews in the world living in the land of Israel. I think nobody wants to point out the obvious, which is, if we don't have it already, it's in the next few years. And that's not just because of the gift of Aliyah, it's mostly because of the curse of intermarriage. But it's really happening that, you know, the majority of halachic Jews will be living in the land of Israel soon, and that may change the face of let's say, Shemitah, right? This coming year, Shemitah. Almost everybody relies on the Heter Mechira, because Shemitah Bizman Azez Drabanan. Uh-oh, if we had to acknowledge that it might be Doraisa, it would raise all kinds of issues. Okay, anyway, here we are. So says the Rambam, Chala is a mitzvah that applies me Doraisa in the land of Israel. Lefika Chala Bizman Azeh, Filu Bimei Ezra Be'eretz Yisrael, Eino Elami Divrehem, Kamo Shebi'arna B'truma. So the Rambam says, of course, nowadays, there is no mitzvah Doraisa of Chala, because all Jews don't live in Israel. Okay, again, which may change. Halach Avav, Peiros Chutz La'aretz, Shenichnesu La'aretz, Chayavim B'chala. That's a staggeringly, you know, unique halacha, right? We would have thought, just like I mentioned before, if the grain grew in Israel, it's Chayavim Chala, Midoraisa. If the grain grew in Chutz La'aretz, it's not. But it turns out that's not the case. If you brought grain from Chutz La'aretz, and then you made dough from it in Israel, the mitzvah of challah applies. Uperos ha'aretz sheyatzu l'chutz la'aretz v'turin. And the opposite direction also. If you took grain from Israel to chutz la'aretz, it's poter. Okay, fine. What in the world does this mean? Just, it seems obvious that challah, another reason why challah is unique is because challah speaks to not just Kedusha Saaretz, but it speaks to our ability to create Kedusha. Right? You could do all you want in Chutz La'aretz, but you won't create the Kedusha that doing the same exact act in Eretz Yisrael creates. That's something to think about. It doesn't have to do with just Kedusha Saaretz Yisrael. It has to do with the fact that in Eretz Yisrael, you can create a Kedusha that you would not be able to create in Chutz La'aretz, because it has nothing to do with where the grain grew. It has everything to do with where you made the dough. Nevertheless, because of the importance, and I think the philosophic importance of the mitzvah of challah, the din is, mafrishin challah b'chutz la'aretz midivrei sofrim, kidei shelo tishtakach torat challah miYisrael. There is a mitzvah drabanan of being mafrish challah in Chutz La'aretz, so that the mitzvah of challah is not forgotten. That raises fascinating issues, which is, wait, so why don't you say there's a mitzvah to be mafrish trumas u'maisos in Chutz La'aretz, so that the mitzvah of trumas u'maisos is not forgotten, right? There are many, many other mitzvahs that we could have made this gzeirah for, and Chazal did not. My sense is, there's something uniquely important about challah that they wanted to be experienced and part of the experience of living in Chutz La'aretz, and we'll come to that in a second. Okay, let's talk about the bigger ideas behind challah and how it became, you know, so important as a skula and something that people really connect to, because I think there are real thoughts to be had here. Look at source number 11. Here's a halacha that we paskin like, and it's a little strange. Says the Mechaber, Ha'oseh kal isato chala. Okay, let's assume it was a time not like Zman Hazeh, where we take the chala and we burn it in the oven. But let's say it was at a time where you give the chala to a Kohen. You're so frum, and you're so excited, on Thursday night, you make a gigantic thing of dough, and then you say, I don't want to give a little bit to the Kohen, I'm going to give the whole thing to the Kohen. Says the Mechaber, Hosek Kalisato Chala, Lo Asa Klum. That's not the mitzvah of Chala. Ad She Yisha'er Miktzat. The mitzvah of Chala is that you keep some, and God gets some. The mitzvah of Chala is not that you give everything to God / the Kohen. Now, why not? So it speaks immediately to sort of the bigger idea behind challah, which is our partnership with God, which is challah as representing, you know, the merging of our physical needs with an element of religion, of spirituality, of connecting to God. In many ways, I saw this idea, it's similar to our relationship with anything we benefit from in the world. In what way? Look at source 12. This is a pretty famous Gemara in Brachos Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, Tanu Rabbanan. Asur lo la'adam sheyehaneh min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. This is the source for Birchas Hananim. How do I know I have to make a bracha on an apple before I eat it? Because it's prohibited to get pleasure from this world without first thanking God. V'chol ha'nehaneh min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha ma'al. And a person who gets hana from this world, who gets pleasure in this world without having made a bracha, is moel. Ki'ilu, he stole it from God. The idea is, it's true, you take an apple, you don't have to give part of it to God. But before you eat the apple, you have to be aware that the source of this apple is God, and therefore you make a bracha. Before you bake the bread and eat the bread, you have to be aware that the source of this is God, and that God wants his representatives to share in it. And therefore, giving all of it to the Kohen is not a chumrah. Giving all of it to the Kohen changes it to something else. It's lovely. It's tzedakah. And I'm sure you get olam haba for it. But it's not the mitzvah of challah. The mitzvah of challah represents our connection to God and our acknowledgement that what seems like the physical parts of our existence, the non-religious part of our existence, requires a connection to God. We'll come back to this in a second. But let's do the women thing for a second. Here's the source for the, well, here's the not happy source for women's connections to the mitzvah of challah. Says the Medrash Rabbah on source number 13, why is the mitzvah of challah given primarily to women? Because of original sin. Because Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz HaDa'as at Chava's urging, so they got the mitzvah of challah. Why? What does that have to do with challah? Says the Gemara, Shehaya gimar chalato shel olam, Adam HaRishon was the chala of the world, lefikach nitan la mitzvat chala. So she caused the chala of the world to sin, therefore she has to do the mitzvah of chala to fix it. What in the world does this mean? So chalato shel olam, I think, should be understood as follows. Rav Asher Meir makes this point, that before Adam HaRishon, there was no justification for the world, in the sense that everything in the world was physical. Adam HaRishon was the first combination of physical and spiritual, of a guf and a neshama. So Adam HaRishon was the chala of the world in the sense that he justified the world. Just like challah is a combination of physical and spiritual, because it's the bread we want to eat, but we separate out a portion and give it to the Kohen as the representative of God. So Adam HaRishon was the first combination of physical and spiritual, of guf and neshama. So he was referred to as challah, and challah itself is also a representation of the merging or the connection between guf and neshama, between physical and spiritual. So therefore, having ruined the first combination of physical and spiritual, women are supposed to now do the mitzvah that most represents the combination of physical and spiritual. Other people point out something interesting, which is it ruins our whole view of the story, but it's a Gemara in Brachos, right? We like to think, in my mind, I think, you know, Eitz Hadas was an apple tree. It just, you know, maybe because of Disney movies. I don't know. You take the apple, you know, you ate it and bad things happen. But the Gemara has three possibilities. One is that it was a vineyard. Okay. One is that it was a date tree. But the third is that it was grain. Fig tree, sorry. And the third is that it was grain, meaning it was challah. It was the thing that became challah. Therefore, that's the role of women. That's where it comes from. Okay. Now, another thought on challah or on bread, which I like very much, and I think, you know, emphasizes this point of creation. We'll look at it by way of this fantastic medrash, which we'll just read part of. Okay. There are a bunch of medrashim and gemaros where it turned Asrufus Harasha, who apparently was a really bad guy, because I don't think Harasha was his actual last name. Okay. That he had these conversations with Rabbi Akiva, who he was friends with. And they debated things. And here's the medrash. Shal turned Asrufus Harasha's Rabbi Akiva. Eze ma'asim na'im. Whose actions are more pleasing? Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu o shel Basar Vadam? God or man? So obviously the answer is God. Rabbi Akiva says, Omalola shel Basar Vadam Na'im. No, man's actions are more pleasing than God. Now, just to know, this is all a machlokis to get to Bris Mila, you know, where Turnus Rufus is going to say to Rabbi Akiva, if God is so great, why did he, you know, make a man? Why didn't he just make a man mahol? But in between is the following point. Rabbi Akiva says, in support of his argument that man is better than God, or man makes better things than God, he says, "Havili shibolim ugluskaot, bring me grain and loaves of bread." Amarlo, "Elu maaseh Hakadosh Baruch Hu, grain is what God made." Ve'elu ma'aseh basar vadam, but bread is what man makes. Ein elu na'im. Anybody would rather have loaves of bread than wheat. What Rabbi Akiva is saying, and what we all know, but it's hard to articulate, is God made a world in which he asked us to perfect it, right? It is the case that bread is better than wheat. And God did not make a bread tree. He only made, well, he didn't make any tree that makes grain. You know, you can't grow bread. And so bread represents the completion of the world. And therefore, it makes sense to have a special mitzvah with respect to bread, because bread is something that human beings achieve. Everything else, you know, all fruits, all raw materials, so great. God made them and we harvested them. But bread represents something more. Bread represents, quote unquote, an improvement on the world that God made. And therefore, if you needed almost a metaphor for the, you know, the combination of our role in the world and God's role in the world, the mitzvah of challah fits the bill, right? Because it's not just a combination of physical and spiritual, of guf and neshama, but it's the thing that we've done to perfect the world, which is the role that God gave us. Right, not for now, but obviously we exist in this world to improve the world from what God made. God couldn't have made a perfect world. Of course he could have. For whatever reason, he chose not to. And he asked us to, you know, to perfect it, right? For whatever reason, God made a world in which people get COVID, and he asked us to come up with a vaccine to fix it. Why? I don't know. But the fact is, you know, that's what happened. Now, last thought to bring it all together. We mentioned at the beginning that unlike any other mitzvah hatzluya ba'aretz, challah applied immediately. The day we came into the land of Israel, we had the mitzvah of being mafrish challah. We didn't get to wait 14 years. Okay, you could see it as a technicality, but historically, it represents something much, much deeper. And with this, we'll finish, but hopefully you'll bring everything together. Here are the psukim in Sefer Yehoshua. In Parakeh, source number 15. Vayachanu b'nei Yisrael ba'gilgal, vayasu et ha-pesach ba'arba'ah, so yom lachodesh ba'arev ba'arvot yericho. Okay, we came into the land pretty sure this is before even, I'm sure, it's before the war with Yericho. It's after the spies, but before the war. Okay, we come in. What's the first thing we do? Well, it's Pesach. So we bring a Korban Pesach. Now what happens? Next day. Vayochlu me'avur ha'aretz mimacharat ha'pesach matzot v'kalui be'etzem ha'yom hazeh. Now we have to eat matzah and other, you know, kind of grain things on that day. And here it comes. Vayishpot haman mimacharat. We stopped eating man, right? The man ran out on that day. Ba'achlam me'avur ha'aretz. Below haya od livnei Yisrael man, vayochlu mitzvat eretz Kinan bashana hahi. Okay, it's not just that the mitzvah of challah technically applied on the first day in Eretz Yisrael. It's that the mitzvah of challah was the transition from man to regular life. Man, of course, was all kedusha. Not just halachically, but the Medrash says, right, there was no waste from man. You never had to go to the bathroom. Every single part of man was useful to your body. But all of a sudden now, we come to Eretz Yisrael and the man is done and we have to start a new life. And the new life requires us figuring out the secret to the world, which is how to balance religion and making a living, how to balance the physical needs that we have and the spiritual, you know, the spiritual needs or the spiritual part of our lives that we want. And the answer to that question is challah. Challah is the secret sauce transition from the midbar, from a life of 100% spirituality. The Katz family, yeah, good, okay. From a life of 100% spirituality to something else. And if you want to say a drasha, which I don't, but I'm gonna, in 30 seconds, right? A lot of people say, in Hasidus at least, that the Meraglim didn't want to leave the Midbar. You know, the Midbar was like a koilel, right? All they did was learn Torah all day long, and God supported them with bread. No one had to earn a living, right? It was a land of complete Kedusha. And they were scared. They didn't want to transition from that. They didn't know how to transition from that to a life where you have to make a living and there's all these other complications and there's all these other distractions. And the answer is challah. The only mitzvah that applied immediately was challah. Challah was supposed to teach us that ruchnius and gashmius, that guf and neshama could coexist. And I think that's exactly why challah is such a beloved mitzvah. That's exactly why, you know, we want to live, like challah is a metaphor for the life that we want. The life that we want has to be a balance between the two sides. Okay, that's what I have to say. Basically, we did the mitzvah of challah. We talked about how many mitzvahs it is, one or two. We talked about what type of mitzvah it is. Is it a real mitzvah or just a conditional mitzvah? If you want to eat the bread, all those have philosophy behind them. We then saw this, all these ideas about challah being representative, not of just Kedusha Sa'aretz, of our ability to create Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. And finally, this big idea that the reason why you can't be mafresh all of the challah and give it to a Kohen is because the message of challah is the balance. And that's why it's the transition from the midbar. That's why it's the transition of the man, etc. Shkach to everybody. Have a great day.